Welcome to the program, God and Country, where social, political, economic, prophetic issues are discussed in the light of biblical exposition. And there is no shortage of subjects that need addressing. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Now, last week I was down in Washington for the March for Marriage, and that's the subject for today's program. You should know about this rally, and I hope that someday you will decide to attend. Now, this is the second year of this pro-traditional marriage rally. Just like there is a March for Life every January, there will now be a March for Marriage every June. The two great moral issues of our time are abortion and homosexuality. And it's good that there remains a voice of opposition to these abominations, because eventually, sin has a negative consequence, and people begin to reap what they have sown. Evil is exposed, and either a nation collapses or it turns back to God's law. And throughout this process, which may take place over an entire century, the Christian community must always be speaking the truth. Here is the way of the Lord. Walk in it. The people need to know there is an alternative. So whether it's in season or out of season, whether there is popular support or whether there is no popular support, God's people must continually voice God's truth about salvation, the protection of life, marriage, gender, government, child rearing. Now at this rally last week, only 2,000 to 3,000 people showed up. And that's a lot of folks. I appreciate the dedication on the part of so many to make the effort to come all the way down to Washington for the day. The first gay and lesbian march took place in Washington back in 1979. 75,000 attended that rally. Then in 2000, there was another LGBT march. 200,000 attended. 2009, there was a national equality march. Also, about 200,000 people attended. Now, those numbers are questionable. Back in the 1990s, the Park Department in Washington, D.C. stopped putting out the official number of attendees at rallies on the green. So these numbers are all guesses by the media. But it's very clear that the number of people showing up to protest for same-sex marriage outnumbers those protesting against same-sex marriage. About 100 to 1. And the liberal media jumped on this low turnout in opposition to same-sex marriage. Let's see. One media outlet writes, "The National Organization for Marriage held its second March for Marriage, an event that has proved to be largely a repeat of last year's march, with dismal attendance, bust-in supporters, and examples of anti-gay hatred on display." Another media response reads, "Four of the five stages of grief, denial, anger, bargaining, and depression, were on full display today at the March for Marriage, a rally outside the U.S. Capitol organized by the National Organization for Marriage and other co-sponsors. NOM's president, Brian Brown, had promised attendees the chance to be part of showing that there still exists in this country deep and wide support for the definition of marriage as the union of a man and a woman. But judging by photos of the event that revealed a shallow and a thin crowd that seemed to gradually disperse as the 2.5 hours of repeated speeches wore on, the rally may have shown just the opposite." Unquote. But the seemingly low turnout doesn't discourage me, and it shouldn't discourage the movement for traditional marriage. Because the March for Life rally in Washington also started small. The first pro-life rally was in 1974, and only about 10 to 20,000 people showed up. Then, over the last 40 years, the attendance was consistently about 250,000 per year. But within the last few years, the attendance has jumped to more than 400,000. And some claim that last year, 650,000 attended the March for Life. And it took place in January in the dead of winter. Now, I know that they want to hold the rally on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. But January is really a bad time to hold a rally. I wish they would switch it to a better time of year. But having the annual March for Marriage in June is a positive. I expect the movement for traditional marriage to start out small and then grow in momentum over the next few years. Especially as people begin to see that the homosexual movement is not simply about two people in love with each other, but a complete redefinition of gender and gender identity, and a repudiation of the Christian view of gender. Now, another reason for the low turnout is that the organization sponsoring the rally, NOM, the National Organization for Marriage, is still in infancy. It has not yet grown into a full-size national lobbying organization. It was started in 2007 to work for the passage of Proposition 8 in California. And NOM actually has its roots here in New Jersey. Robert George, Princeton law professor with the Witherspoon Institute, is chairman of the NOM board. And many of those who attended the March for Marriage were coming from New Jersey and New York. I expect that over time we will get more representation from other states. But I see a third reason why we should not be discouraged by the low turnout. There's a different dynamic in protesting against same-sex marriage than in protesting for same-sex marriage. Those who believe in God's institution for marriage are not threatened by homosexuals who want to make believe that they're married. The homophobia label is made up by the homosexual community. Christians are not afraid of homosexuals. And those who know what's actually going on in the grassroots know that most homosexuals don't want to get married, and most homosexual marriages end in divorce. If a person wants legal permission to ruin their personal life and to live a lie, then so be it. The state doesn't even have to punish the crime. Their own lifestyles will be the punishment. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Romans chapter 1, they will receive in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Winning the right to same-sex marriage is winning the right to jump off a cliff. So I understand why believers are not extremely motivated to take a day out of their time and about $200 out of their pocket and go down to Washington to make a statement against same-sex marriage. Even Jesus said about the Pharisees, leave them alone. They're the blind leaders of the blind. Abortion, on the other hand, is the taking of an innocent life. Proverbs 24:11. Save those who are being taken away to death. In homosexuality, people are inflicting themselves. In abortion, people are hurting an innocent third party. So, of course, there's going to be a greater moral incentive to protest abortion. Now, Christians should urge the state legislators to follow God's moral law concerning marriage and gender, but I understand that it is harder for people right now to see the urgency to speak against the homosexual agenda. And I expect that will change as more of the LGBT agenda is exposed. Now, why did I attend the rally? Well, by my attendance, I just wanted to be one more person to communicate to the media that same-sex marriage is not a fait accompli, which is French for something that can't be changed or stopped. The propaganda of the homosexual agenda is that everyone is for same-sex marriage. So get into the 21st century, legalize and embrace homosexuality. In the same week that the March for Marriage was taking place in Washington, President Obama was attending a gay gala in New York City, sponsored, of course, by none other than the Democratic National Convention. And it's really incredible that we have a president that is pushing the gay agenda in our country, and as president, he is influencing public morals. Now, in his speech, the president said, the day that the Supreme Court issued its ruling, United States versus Windsor, overthrowing the Defense of Marriage Act, that was a great day for America. A clear victory for human decency and equality and justice and freedom. Then the president went on to congratulate and to give a toast to recently married gay couples in attendance. The president said, "Pride Month is a time for celebration. And this year we've got a lot to celebrate. If you think about everything that's happened in the last 12 months, it's remarkable. In 9 more states, you're now free to marry the person that you love. When I took office, only 2 states had marriage equality. Today, 19 states and the District of Columbia do." Notice how he is proud of and admits that he has promoted the homosexual lifestyle in America. Then the president went on to say that just about everyone is now for same-sex marriage, and it's because we love. We have helped to make America more compassionate. And then the president went on to enumerate all of the LGBT agenda that he still plans to implement. "I attended the March for Marriage rally just to do my part to help diffuse the lie that all Americans are behind same-sex marriage. And the second reason for going is to encourage the saints. I wanted to give the people who are making this rally happen my moral support and encouragement because I know how difficult it can be to put together one of these rallies. The people who do this work need to be supported. 3 John, verse 5. Beloved, you have acted faithfully in whatever you have accomplished for the brethren, especially when they're strangers. 3 John, verse 8. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth." Now, I had all sorts of reasons as to why I didn't have the time to give up a day and go down to Washington. But I thought to myself, everyone could come up with those same reasons. And if we all acted upon them, then nobody would show up. Let's take a conservative estimate that true Christians in America only make up 5% of the population. Almost everyone at the rally was faith-based. Those people who are conservative because they're utilitarians don't really understand the opposition to immorality. So out of 300 million, 5% of the population would be about 15 million people. And imagine if 15 million people showed up in Washington for this March on Marriage. But it is very impractical for the people in the West to attend a rally in Washington. So for argument's sake, let's take 5% of the American population east of the Mississippi, which would be about 5% of 180 million people, or about 9 million people. Now let's be realistic. It would be impractical to attend a March for Marriage every year. So let's say people in the Christian community only attended this march once every 7 years. That would still mean that every year there would be 1.3 million people showing up in Washington in opposition to the homosexual agenda, which would make the March for Marriage the largest rally in America's history. And we would have this with only true believers attending once every 7 years. It's truly a shame that Christians don't see the importance of making their voices heard in Washington. Now, while I was at the rally, I interviewed a dozen people or so, and I want you to be inspired by hearing some of the reasons people came to the march. So let me cut now to the interviews. Great. So where are you from?
We're from upstate New York. We're in the town of Berryville.
Okay, so that's a good 6-hour drive for you here this afternoon?
If we'd come straight from there, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever been to a rally like this before?
Yeah, we were at the first one last year. Absolutely.
How's the turnout this year compared to last year?
I think it's much better. Much better.
I think they're going to try and do this every year like they do the March for Life.
Absolutely.
Should probably be a pretty good thing to do.
Right.
So what really motivated you to come today?
Well, you know, we just believe in standing for what's right. And regardless of what secular society might say, you know, the truth is the truth at the end of the day. You know, and I believe our Constitution should be interpreted in the light of the founders and the intent that they had when they wrote it. You know, and Samuel Adams said that liberty will not long survive the absence of morality. And I believe that if Americans truly love their country, then we need to point the way back to morality for her. And we need to say, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong. It's what's gotten us to where we are today. And if we're going to stay strong as a nation, we have to stay strong morally.
All right, thank you for your time. So you're here in support of same-sex marriage.
That's correct.
What would you say is the basic ideology to justify same-sex marriage?
I think that even if you don't agree that homosexuality is right, I think even if you have a religious obligation to condone it, I think even if you don't approve of a lifestyle, you can agree that it's not the government's job to approve of a lifestyle.
Well, wouldn't it be approving of a lifestyle if they legalized gay marriage, or you think that the government should just be out of marriage altogether?
I think that, unfortunately, right now, straight heterosexual couples that are married get benefits. And so I'm not going to argue whether that's right or wrong, but in order for homosexual couples to receive the same rights, the government has to be involved.
So in other words, you're saying that the government shouldn't take sides in the issue, or if they're going to take sides at all, it has to be equality?
Right. I am for marriage equality. I think that if the government's going to be involved in marriage, they should approve of not just a Christian marriage, but marriages of all religions.
So what do you think of polygamy?
I believe if it's between consenting adults.
I'm sorry?
Sorry, that's my opinion. If it's between consenting adults should be allowed to do that if that's what they're for.
Okay. I'm not gonna comment on that. I haven't put enough thought into it to like put it on a radio show. So.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, where are you from?
Chesapeake, Virginia.
So, what brought you down here today?
I just wanted to take a stand for this issue. I think it's very important that we keep marriage between man and a woman.
What do you think is the reason why the LGBT movement has become so popular so quickly?
I think they've made a successful case with the quick soundbite of equality, trying to turn into civil rights. And when people think deeper, though, they'll see that that's a simplification, oversimplification of the issue. But nobody's thinking deeper, and that's why I'm here, to get people to start thinking.
Do you think we'll ever be able to turn back to LGBT agenda in any way, or you think this is a done deal for them?
No, I think we'll definitely turn it back. The question is, how long is it going to take?
Do you have a prediction as far as how long it'll take us to turn it back?
I think the pro-life movement is maybe a model where we're gaining ground, a lot of momentum. Young kids are thinking this through. But it's hard to say, a generation, two generations, 10 years. If we get a really dynamic leader in the White House, maybe things could change. But there's a lot of things going against us, the media, especially with influencing children. So it's going to take some time.
So what do you think of the turnout today?
It's good. I think in the next few years, it'll get bigger and bigger.
This is the second year, right?
That's what I heard. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. I just learned that. Yeah, I wasn't here last year.
So you think you'll be back next year?
If I can work it with the job and whatnot, sure.
Appreciate you coming out today. Thanks
a lot.
Thank you. Anyway, where are you from?
Diocese of Arlington, Virginia.
So you're really local?
Oh, very local, just over the water.
Have you ever been to one of these rallies before here for some issue in Washington?
Well, I've been to the March for Marriage. I was here last year, but I've been to the March for Life six years in a row.
Okay, so you're a real diehard.
I am definitely committed. I don't know if I'm a diehard.
Well, they'd call you an ideologue, I guess.
I wouldn't say that. Can you be an ideologue for the truth?
You believe in what you believe, and you're going to stand for it.
Absolutely, but I feel like we should all stand for the truth.
So what do you think the gay agenda really is?
The gay agenda. I don't know if I would characterize it as that, but I would say certainly that they're looking to normalize gay marriage and to make it the equivalent of traditional marriage.
Do you think it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to have gay marriage across America? Or do you think there's any way we can push this back?
I definitely think that, you know, you never want to lose hope in the truth. The truth always has a way of coming back and being vindicated. I think that the next few years are going to be very important, and it's important for everyone to kind of keep up the struggle.
Do you think in the with the speakers today, they did a good job articulating our message?
I think that they did. I mean, you have a very diverse group of people here. You know, one of the things about a march this size is that it's bringing a lot of different people together who express things differently, who, you know, are coming at it from different angles, and they've picked a really diverse group of speakers who are coming at it from a lot of different areas. Some people are coming at it from the philosophical view, from the legal view. Some people are just, you know, really preaching. And I think that people are reacting to it differently, and I think that that's a smart way to, you know, to approach it.
Yeah, so I was amazed how broad a spectrum of different races and ages are here today.
Oh, definitely. I think that that's probably one of the most satisfying and encouraging aspects of the March for Marriage. You know, having gone to a lot of other rallies, a lot of other political movements, this is one of the most diverse crowds that I've been in, and I think that it goes to show that when you actually drill down into different communities and ask people, not what pollsters are trying to tell you, but what actual people on the street are saying, you find that there's a broad consensus supporting traditional marriage in a lot of different communities who unfortunately are kind of split up and separated when, you know, pollsters and the media talk about them.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, where are you from?
I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
So what motivated you to come down here today? I mean, what was the thing that got you up to lose an entire day, to fight the traffic, to come all the way down here to Washington to march for marriage?
Well, I guess to put it in a nutshell, I once heard an old adage and it said, evil triumphs when good people do nothing. So I said to myself, if I'm a good person and if I do nothing, then this kind of warped understanding of society is going to flourish. So I need to do whatever I can to stop it and to fight for true marriage and fight for a marriage between a man and a woman. Yeah. It's like the five loaves and the two fishes. We give to God what we can and He multiplies it and does the rest, right? So we shouldn't get demoralized and say that we can't succeed. We can succeed with His help.
Are you going to be here next year?
Absolutely.
Thanks for your time. Where are you from?
Tappahannock, Virginia.
You got your whole family here. What do you have, five?
Six.
Six of them. Oh, and you got one in the stroller, too. That's a lot of effort to come all the way out here for that.
Yes, it is.
Giving up the whole day?
Basically, yes, yes.
So what motivated you to come down here today?
Doing the right thing. Standing for truth, even when it's hard. I don't think we have any idea of what is ahead if we go down this road of trying to redefine God's definition of marriage.
What do you think of the turnout today?
I think it's a lot of people, but for a national event, I would have wanted a ton more.
Well, maybe
you do know it is a Thursday. It is a work day, and a lot of people might not have known about it.
Do you attend a church in your hometown there?
We do go to Ephesus Baptist Church.
And how many people are from your church with you today?
From where we go, they're not with us personally. I'm not sure if any are here.
Okay, do you think next year other people from your church would come if you went back and told them about it?
I hope so. I would pray so, yes.
All right, thanks for your time.
Yeah.
It's called God and Country. It's a program I do up in New Jersey on a number of Christian radio stations.
As long as you're not Lambda legal or anything.
No, no. I'm on the side of traditional marriage.
Thank you.
You're part of Protect Marriage Maryland.
That's right.
All right, now Maryland recently legalized same-sex marriage.
Well, they actually did it through the legislature by the governor, who wants to run for president in 2016, twisted arms, literally threatened to throw people in jail, and really pulled every dirty trick in the book to force the bill through the legislature. Unfortunately, the governor controls the wording of the ballot initiative, and they made sure that the people were confused, so we only lost by 2% of the vote. If 2% of the people voted differently, marriage would still be one man, one woman in Maryland, as it was in 2011 and every year before.
So it did go for a referendum to the people.
It did go for a referendum to the people.
And you think the problem was a lack of education on the part of the people?
Most people didn't even know what was coming. And so when they got to the ballot box and they vote D, 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 D all the way down, and then they read the ballot initiative, if they bother to read it, and it says, oh, we want fairness. Oh, we want to, it's actually called the Marriage Protection Act. You know, so it sounds like you're protecting marriage. So people were duped and deceived. And then this past year, they passed a gender identity bill so that men could go into women's bathroom. We tried to take that to referendum. The Republican Party wasn't with us. The Catholic Church wasn't with us. The normal coalition of people that supported us last time didn't support us this time. We couldn't even get it on the ballot. That's how insidious it is in our state, where the word of God is vanquished and essentially the enemies of God are running our state.
I noticed that you were regretting the fact that there aren't more ministers here.
Right. Well, you know, we put out the word year after year. The basic thing is people are busy. People are occupied with other things to do. And I go to people who are really concerned about this issue. They're more concerned with the guys running for governor who can't even win. They're more concerned with paying their taxes. They're more concerned with doing their day-to-day. They don't want to be seen at an event like this because they might lose their job. They might end up like Brendan Eich from Mozilla, or this photographer from New Mexico, or any of these other companies that are being bullied and harassed and oppressed by the homosexuals, where they're being driven out of their place of work. They're being told they can't have jobs. They're being fired from their jobs because they simply stand for marriages between a man and a woman.
So you think there's a genuine fear of coming to a rally like this?
Yes, definitely. You could lose your job. You could lose your position. You could lose your basic ability to provide for your family just by being here.
Well, actually, that's more of a reason to come, because it's good to stand for something if it's going to cost you something.
Right, and that's why I'm here, and my friend Gus and everyone else who is here, you know, just like Reverend William Owens from the Coalition of African American Pastors said, you know, you make the penalty for doing this, going to jail, throw me in jail. Just like Mike Huckabee said, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, throw us in the fiery furnace. We'll take it, because we're not turning away from our God.
Well, thanks for coming. Hopefully, I'll see you next year, and maybe we'll get double the attendance next year.
Well, I hope so, too, and I hope for the day that we won't have to come in March, because marriage will be redefined as one man, one woman, as God defined and intended.
Well, do you think we're going to win in the end?
We already know how it ends.
Amen.
Our job is just to stand firm in the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
I wish I could include all of the interviews, but I'm going to have to stop here because of time. This last person I interviewed, who was part of Protect Marriage Maryland, made some very insightful comments. People are afraid. Politicians are afraid to show up at this rally. One of the causes for the decline of America may be cowardice. I want to conclude with some constructive advice for the future of the March for Marriage movement. Because I don't believe the speakers at the rally did the best job they could have in articulating opposition to same-sex marriage. It was probably as good as could be expected, but there was a lack of spiritual understanding. The left might actually be right in their claim that opposition to gay marriage is running out of arguments. Now, it's not that I know arguments that others have not thought of, but I'm coming at this issue with a wealth of theological training, with a thorough knowledge of the arguments put forth by the biblical prophets, and I believe that the most effective method in winning this war will be to follow the biblical pattern of argumentation. So let me just mention a few truths that the movement for traditional marriage needs to emphasize. First, the problem is that the foundation for law in America has changed. And until we put the law of the land back on the right foundation, all the rallies and the protests against abortion or homosexuality will not make a bit of difference. Because the foundation for law is now human rights, equality, and freedom. The secular idea that the law should be based upon the principle of the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people. The utilitarian philosophy of John Stuart Mill, which is the philosophy of a nation of pigs and hedonists. Today, the law is no longer considered a function of the higher law of God, given in the Bible or given in nature, but law is whatever the majority decides it should be for the happiness and the survival of the human race. And whenever law is a function of human will, rather than an acknowledgement of the divine, all immorality will be legalized, because men do not think that they are hurting anyone by these actions. Morality that is just horizontal, man to man, is not enough. There must also be the acknowledging of the vertical relationship with God. And God will not bless us until we acknowledge Him. Not only is God not pleased with the conservatism based solely on man-to-man benefits, but that kind of conservatism eventually concedes to liberalism. So let's say you get 20 million people showing up for a march for marriage. It's not going to move the legislators, because they still believe homosexuals should have minority rights. and they believe that since homosexuality is a moral choice, and morality is religious, and the state is supposed to be neutral toward religion, they believe they must let the homosexuals practice their own morality. Because deciding morality is above their pay grade. The belief in the secular state is the root problem here. And we are never going to stop America's path to Sodom unless we return to the belief in the Christian state. The nations of the world must submit to the law of God. Too many conservatives are still trying to win by outmuscling, outshouting, outspending the secular immoral left. And that's not going to work. Not only will it backfire, I'm not even sure God wants us to fight that fight. The only cure is to preach and to teach that the basis for the law of the land must be the law of God. The March for Marriage needs to communicate the true foundation for law. We need to get back on that foundation, otherwise nothing's going to change, and these marches are going to be an exercise in futility. Second, it is not using the marriage label for homosexuals that we're fighting against. As if once we get the label preserved exclusively for heterosexual marriages, all will be well. Like the pro-life and the pro-choice battle, we're not against the label pro-choice. We are against the actual crime of killing babies. Now, we explained that the pro-choice label is morally defective, but it's not the label that we're fighting. You get the sense that some of the folks in opposition to same-sex marriage are only opposed to the label. As if it's okay for homosexuals to live together or do whatever they do, just don't call it marriage. And Christian lobbyists have learned a lesson in this regard. Early on, some of the conservatives were arguing that we should allow the homosexuals to have civil unions, and that would satisfy everyone. But not only did that not stop same-sex marriage, it actually justified it and propelled it forward. God is not fooled by labels. It is the homosexual behavior that is the main sin here. But it's very unfortunate that the movement against homosexual marriage is populated with people who don't see that. We're not just fighting for special designation for heterosexual couples. Now, the third truth that needs to be better articulated is that the issue we are fighting against is not same-sex marriage, but gender rebellion. Just like in the abortion issue, we're not fighting against a woman's right to choose, we're fighting against the murder of children. And the axe needs to be laid at the root of the sin. It has to be properly identified and defined. The LGBT agenda is not about gay marriage. Few homosexuals marry and few stay married. The movement is about throwing off God's natural law for gender, in identity, in roles, that you can choose whatever gender you want, you can be or you can act like a man or a woman. And this is the final rebellion against God. The LGBT crowd is hiding their agenda behind marriage and two people being in love. And they will be greatly stunned if people on the right actually begin to expose their true intentions to redefine gender in society and in our public schools. But it appeared to me that too many of the speakers on our side have fallen for their deception, arguing against gay marriage rather than the true agenda, gender rebellion. The fourth truth to better articulate is that we need to emphasize the importance of the state setting up moral fences to help people, even to save immoral people from the consequences of their own immorality. Now, of course, the LGBT community doesn't believe that there are any negative consequences, but we still need to tell them the truth, because negative consequences will come. And by the word of God, we will be proven right. Therefore, we need to be proactive in saying that the gay lifestyle is not gay. It will result in heartbreak and in misery for the nation. Many young people will be hurt. Many will be unnecessarily confused about their gender identity. Now, I'm hearing a lot about the rights of traditional marriage supporters being violated. And they are being violated. And they will be violated more and more. But we need to also communicate that we are lobbying for state sanctions on homosexuality, not just for us, but for them. This was the message of the Old Testament prophets. They pronounced beforehand that they were preaching against the sins of the people to save the sinners themselves from coming pain and judgment. If you continue in sin, what will you do in the end thereof? The biblical prophets were not wringing their hands, defending the rights of the moral majority in Israel. They were warning the ungodly of their future. Every permission given to homosexuals by our legislators, every reduction in moral boundaries, drives the homosexual into further and further debauchery. When they win in legislation, they lose, because they're destroying themselves by removing the moral boundaries that God has established for their good. There's a new drug on the streets that eats skin. It's called crocodile. It's extremely addictive, and it turns people into looking like zombies. Why is this drug illegal? Why not on the basis of equality and fairness are people allowed to use this drug as much as using a bare aspirin? Because the state has a responsibility before God to save people from their own bad choices. The state has a responsibility to save people from depraved immoralities. The gay lifestyle is not gay. Well, I've only had time to mention four truths that need to be better articulated in the March for Marriage movement. Maybe we can pick this subject up again in a later program. But it really is extremely important that the movement has the right message. If the arguments are not right, if they're not smart, good people will not be coming to the rallies. I think of Acts chapter 19 as a spiritual parallel. Remember when the Jewish exorcist tried to imitate the Apostle Paul by casting out demons without the authority or the power to cast out demons? They left naked and beat up. And such is the case of those who try to fight evil without the proper spirit and without the proper message. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. To listen to the full version of this message, go to our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to past messages and contact us with questions, comments, insights, suggestions. That's godandcountryradio.org. We are a listener-supported program. Thank you for listening today. And if God so leads, consider making this program a regular part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Strengthen our hearts and minds for the battle, knowing that victory is assured in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.